Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. My guest is Tim O'Connor. And I think many of you may have known him during his tenure here as the Ambassador Consul General of New York. And, he came. He shook us up. We were doing all right before he arrived. But then he came and he kind of shook some of us up, and then he left for a higher office. He became the secretary to the president of Ireland, and then he disappeared for about a week and wound up being chairman of the Gathering Ireland 2013. Tim O'Connor, you're very welcome.
Grimila Mahagode Adrian Tas, I thought Anna has our Verasharish, Faroshta Specialta Nuaruk. Thank you. Thanks, Adrian. Great to be here.
Now, let me ask you, there was kind of tongue in cheek, but that's kind of how it happened. And I just want to start off with something which is only half tongue-in-cheek. You did come into New York, and you, I think, saw something which is real. Some would say it still is, but there were a great influx, great Irish-American community, as good as you get anywhere in the United States, right here in New York. Some very successful organizations like the county organizations, the United Irish Counties, Irish Institute, you name them, very, very successful and had done enormous jobs in terms of networking and all of the good stuff that they had done. And yet there was a glaring reality, and that was that the next generation were not flocking towards the organization. As a matter of fact, one would have imagined that when these organizations, when the stalwarts of those organizations, when they retired, died off, that would pretty much be the end of those organizations, and it may, in fact, there would be nothing to replace the organizations. You came in and you managed to get a great number of people from different generations, not only recent Irish, but Irish-American groups and all the rest of it. And you pointed out that there was a common strain, commonality in all of those areas. And there was no need actually for everybody to gather in the one spot and declare a king and a fiefdom. That the organizations, that there were a great many of them that were going to not replace, but that were going to in fact be around maybe with a new agenda. Is that fairly close?
Very good. Thanks, Farid, and thanks very much. And I say it's brilliant to be back with yourself and Anya, and thanks for all you guys do amazingly in keeping it all going. And just hearing you kind of give that summary there, it's stirring the blood again for me here, because, yeah, I arrived here in 2005, and as you say, I was coming in on the back of tremendous work being done by so many, and including my predecessors as well in the job, working here, working very, very hard here, and most recently Eugene Hutchinson, but lots of people before that as well, and continued, might I say, by the way, after me too, by Niall Burgess, and now great work being done by the current parish priest, Noel Kilkenny, a good, great friend as well. So I think that for me, it was kind of personal as well. It was kind of, to be consul general in New York was like the pinnacle in many ways of a professional journey, but also a personal journey as somebody from rural Ireland, you know, who grew up with emigration as a kind of just a fact of life in our existences. And the first play I ever saw in Cronin's Hall in Killeady in West Limerick was in the late 50s. It was Many Young Men of 20 by John B. Cain. Many Young Men of 20 Said Goodbye.
Yeah.
And it was just that gripped me. And that was the beginning. And here
it turned out to be actually the great song.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly.
You can hear the drums and the drum beats.
I was 7 or 8 when I saw that. And the other sort of seminal moment, genuinely, in my upbringing in West Limerick was actually the election of John F. Kennedy as president when I was 8 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
It just gripped me. And then his visit in 63 when I was 11. So I was kind of just personally formed by those kinds of images and that sort of sense, and immigration in my own family. And then fast forward, I became a professional diplomat, and then I arrived in New York, and in a sense, the whole thing just came together for me. And from the moment I hit the ground here, I just loved this place, the vitality of it, and it was, and the energy of the sense of life and the sense of possibility of it.
Yeah.
And I suppose maybe what I did do is coming in with a sort of a fresh pair of eyes to sort of see, just as you've described, the enormous amount of commitment, dedication, potential, and the diversity that was there.
Right.
And that there was no need for any of that to go anywhere other than just to be encouraged.
Right.
And I suppose maybe what I did do, hopefully, is to say, wow, fantastic stuff going on here. And of course, Ireland at the time, and I could say this, we were on a rise ourselves. We were in great, post Good Friday Agreement, the peace process was moving forward, although it was not in great shape at that stage, but the better things to come, and in fact, a few years later. But obviously, economically, we were doing very well. So in a way, as my little cheesy line was, at the moment in Ireland, we're building the American dream without actually having to leave Ireland. And that's the first time that was true. So there were all these new possibilities. So it was a kind of a combination of crossroads where Ireland was at, where you were at here as a community, and the vitality and energy and then for me personally, I guess, in my own journey. So it was a very personal experience for me. I was heart and soul in this job. And I think then the bit for me was that it goes to the essence of it really was about whether or not there is something at the heart of a relationship between the emigrant and the home place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true now of the gathering as well. And that's really, what does it mean? Does it mean something? And if so, what does it mean? And what do we do about it? And how do we nurture it? How do we nourish it? How do we mind it? How do we grow it? And how do we do that? And that was the stuff I was right in the middle of. And it was absolutely brilliant experience from start to finish, you know?
You had returned, indeed, to Ireland while Ireland was still riding the tide. But then, as happens, the downturn, the fall, the collapse of the Celtic Tiger came very rapidly, and with it came a sense of shock which spread as quickly throughout the world as did the success of Ireland during the good times.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sense of maybe lower expectations for Ireland, for the visitor, for the tourist. Really didn't know, well, what they were going to find in Ireland this time, and the Ireland of the welcomes and all of that. Maybe the country was going to be in such bad shape that maybe even as a choice Western European or destination, that Ireland might slip into, you know, second place. That never happened, but it did need something to show that A, not only was the welcome there. There was no Grand McCree, come on home and give us a hand. I think that the government rollout of what was the gathering 2013 could not have been better.
Mm.
And I could lie and tell you we were very surprised when we found out that you were going to be the chairman. We weren't.
Mm.
But I don't think too many would be fighting you for the job in the first place, because that was, you need a great sense of faith to to say this is the right time to do it. Many others might have said, well, let's wait for the dust to settle. You didn't see that
there was
way.
Thanks very much, Ed. I appreciate that. And that's very interesting. I mean, look, there was a direct connection, obviously, between my experience here in New York with you, with this amazing community in New York, which I loved being part of and which I have huge admiration for. there was a direct connection between that experience, me personally, and the fact that I ended up being chairman of the gathering. There's no question, because frankly, I left here in 2007, went back to become Secretary General to President McAleese, you know, a fantastic experience in itself as well. And she was a woman, obviously, as the head of state, who hugely understood also the power of this relationship. And we had a lot of great conversations about, you know, where do you take it from now? And she was very involved in the creation of the first Global Irish Economic Forum at Farmley in 2009, and she hosted part of that, and so all that was going on. And that was all a direct continuum for me of the experience that I had. And so I suppose to a certain extent after, and then when I left, I retired in 2010, but at that stage the word had spread around a little bit, but this fellow understands a little bit about this relationship, purely from my experience in New York. And so I got sought out by Falls Ireland, our tourist board, in 2010, Sean Quinn, the CEO and the director of marketing, very visionary man called John Concannon, to ask me to come and see them about this idea that they had. This is 3.25 years ago, and which was just the embryo of the gathering, this idea. And they asked me to do that because, as I say, they knew that I kind of had to, and that's a direct continuum from my time in New York. So basically, yeah, I knew that from my time here, and I suppose I left here, Adrian, with a sense of we're missing something in Ireland. We don't actually understand the power of this incredible relationship. We don't understand the power and the potential of what this could mean for Ireland. We need to be more aware of it, and we need to harness it in some way. And to be honest with you, that was because I didn't understand it really either before I came here. I'm sorry. So it was not the easiest message in the world back home to spread the word of initially. But you're right, and I think when the downturn came, I think then there was a bit of more of an openness to new thinking and new ideas. And so I think
But there was a sense also of disappointment, a sense of something that we knew an awful lot about here, going back to 9/11 and going back to massive changes that take place suddenly. There is, and more recently with Hurricane Sandy, there is a period where there's an awful lot of uncertainty and
there's an opportunity in contest, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very wise point. I mean, I think like a lot of turning point moments then when they happen, whether it's the Good Friday Agreement as well, they're usually not down to any one single thing. They're usually a combination of factors and situations and people who come together at a particular moment to make something special happen. And I think the gathering was a bit like that. It was a moment in time where a whole range of things, some of which you've just described there, actually came together to sort of, and I suppose in a sense it has turned out now to be a very good example of wise collaboration between a government program and people. Because actually, you know, I do need a moment here to sort of say to your listeners and the gathering as a project is actually the product of the work of quite a range of people, you know, coming together in different ways to make something happen. Obviously, the government in the first instance in making it happen, Taoiseach and Andy Kenny and the Tánaiste and the government, and then particularly Leo Varadkar as the minister, and of course the good mayor man Michael Ring as the Minister of State. They all understood and grabbed it. And then the agencies involved, Fáilte Ireland and Tourism Ireland, you know, here, and I pay tribute to Tourism Ireland, who did such a great job promoting it here and around the world. And then the actual team that was put together at Fáilte Ireland under a man called Jim Miley, who's the project director for it, and a total tribute to their professionalism. And then actually a secret weapon that frankly I hadn't seen before engaged in the diaspora space, the local authority services, the local networks around Ireland, because the city and county councils and all around the place, they played an absolutely pivotal role in the rollout of the gathering all around the country. Because in the autumn of last year, in the fall of last year, Adrian, what we did was we linked up with the city and county managers in every council area, and Minister Phil Hogan was very helpful in that. And we basically, city and county managers did three things. They first of all nominated a senior person in their team to be the gathering coordinator for that area. Secondly, a coordinating committee was put together, gathering coordinating committee of the various stakeholders and organisations in that county or city area. And then the third thing was a range of town hall meetings in those local areas, which we then were able to come to and lay out the story. So it was about 70 town hall meetings around Ireland last year, and about 7,000 people came to those, and they were organised at local level, and that was people coming. That turned out to be a really, really key part of why we ended up with over 5,000 right. gatherings. So I think it was a combination of all that. But the real heroes then, having said all that, the real heroes of this project were the people of Ireland who actually responded. And having heard an idea that they believed was authentic, a proposition, because people are not fools. They won't just jump and say, we're in that. They responded because the proposition was that this 2013 is the year for us to turn to our diaspora and say, we're going to invite you, we're going to welcome you back home, and we're going to host you. Welcome to the Gathering 2013.
And you'll have a good time.
And it was the way that the people responded. I have to say that, Adrian. Mm. My little tagline is that the Gathering began as a government a government initiative, but it became a people's project. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say anything to your listeners about the key, that's it. It was embraced by the people. Right. So you can't second guess 5,000 gatherings. That's 5,000. And I say one other point, if I could, it isn't just 5,000 events all around or 5,000 weekends. That's 5,000 committees that got together
right.
to prepare, to plan, to worry, to think, to invite, to curate, to host, and welcome.
Yes.
And that's been unbelievable.
And there was a very high level also of cooperation in terms of the gatherings taking place. And, you know, during that whole year, and I still say, of course, the gathering has to do not just with big cities or small cities, for that matter, towns. It had equal emphasis in parishes, coming down to villages.
Correct.
And you had something that we, for many times, many times here, we wonder, particularly with the events that take place, well, why did they all pick a Friday night? Why did they all run against each other and so forth? But here was an Ireland that had a full year. And there was a sense it couldn't have been just coincidence that where you had in our own neck of the woods down in Mayo, there was a sports day in Bunnyfinglas, which is in parish of Attymass, and then on that weekend, you know, you had the horse show in Bunnyconlon, which is only over the road, that there seemed to be a series of events taking place, none of them conflicting with the other, but a very smart notion that if you get enough people into the area, you might as well hold on to them yes. and yes. give them something, variety, because it wasn't, we'll come home for, mm-hmm. you know, the high mass because it's, yeah. you know,
but
it's
I
an
think,
anniversary.
But I think that you're right, that's a good point. I mean, I think in a sense, the part of the genius of the gathering, and I suppose we kind of stumbled onto it, and I'm not going to say we saw yeah. all this in advance in a way. We didn't actually. A lot of the stuff, frankly, that happened, we didn't expect it, some of it, you know. But maybe part of its genius was that it was very broad and it was largely, in a sense, what the government did here in Fáil, you know, the thing, we created a kind of a wide platform. I have this image. We created a platform with a lot of sockets in it. And then it was up to people and communities and parishes to come in and plug in their idea. And, you know, like the old, we used to, there was a lorry driver in West Limerick when I was growing up, and he used to ferry turf and mm-hmm. bricks and every kind of a thing, but the ad was no job too big, no job too small, mm-hmm. and that was kind of in a sense the thing. In the end, the gathering became whatever you want to make it, and it's up to you. We will create the platform, and we actually held back from getting overly involved in being prescriptive or whatever. And the answer is people just and just very if I could just quickly tell you our own. I'm from a big family in West Limerick, and we decided to have, and I wasn't involved in it, this is all now over to my family, they just took over, and last, about November, there was a family meeting to kind of get together, and they decided to have on my mother's side, my mother was Kelleher, passed since, and now sadly passed in the meantime, but or actually a couple of years ago, but she was Kelleher, and her mother was Dore, so we called it the Dore Kelleher Gathering, and my mother was brought up on a farm, which has been in our family in Killeedy in West Limerick since 1859. So we kind of, and the farmhouse is still there. 5 generations later, my uncle Eddie farms it, and his son Joe are running it now. So we kind of built our family gathering around that homestead from 1859 onwards. So we're a good exemplar of this. So a committee was formed of the family, chaired by Uncle Eddie, my uncle, the last of the males, and my brother Jody was the coordinator. And then six branches of the family came together in the committee. And they started working last November for a gathering that took place in August, meeting every few weeks, planning, preparing. And when it eventually happened, over 2 days in the middle of August, 140 people came from all over Ireland, around our family, and about 20 cousins from America and the UK. And I have to tell you this, Adrian, not one of those cousins who came in from America and the UK had I ever met before. And a number of them, I didn't even know they existed. And one of them, my now very good friend, Greg McBerry from San Francisco, his grandfather and my grandfather were brothers. And I'd never met him before. He'd never been to Ireland. And he said to me, "Well, Tim, it was like this. Coming to Ireland was always on my bucket list, but I never quite got round to it. Then you guys invited me, and I said, I'm coming." And that's the essence of the gathering. The home place turned and invited, and out of that has come amazing things. That's just in our family, and that was multiplied 1,000 times around the country.
The creativity when it comes to, again, I like to start with the village and work our way up to, you know, to the great attractions that bring tens of thousands of people, but starting at that level, there was a great resurgence, there was a great reenactment, as it were, of customs from 50 years ago, from 60 years ago, from something that actually gave an opportunity for some customs that we never heard of.
Correct.
I mean, they may have been peculiar to sections of counties and so forth, but, you know, when you think of, like, the tug of war, each time you turned around, you know, the thrashing machine, the various things that came up that were not ancient, they were actually in a lifetime. This was, so it wasn't like we were going back to the famine, or we were going back to, you know, some historic massive changes in Ireland. There was a great number of people who said, "Listen, you remember how we used to be? You remember how we used to, you know, have to walk to school, how we did something?" It gave an opportunity for a lot of people, sometimes three generations, to gather in Ireland and say, you know, "I know you didn't believe the half of it or whatever, but let me... let's now walk in the path that we walked in."
And I think that's absolutely spot on. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, it comes back down to basics. This stuff matters. This matters at the end of the day. And we may be lost sight of some of these things, but partly, you know, partly due to the you know, and there's much great thing. There's much good stuff to be said about the downturn in Ireland. It's been terrible for so many people, for so many families, you know, for unemployed. We've unemployed levels of, you know, actually they're falling, which is great. They're around 13% now. But it has been very, very difficult. But it has enabled us actually to break free of that and actually to begin to return to some of those. And the word I keep coming back to is authentic. These things, you know, people will respond to something that's authentic and real. And that's what we have now, you know, we've now come on to. And I think the other fantastic thing for us is that it has absolutely underlined, and this is where I come back to New York, you know, the thing that you kindly were mentioning at the beginning of the interview that perhaps I saw here, I knew it was real. And in a sense, the gathering is an absolute validation that this connection, this whole emotional connection, this psychological connection, this cultural connection, it is absolutely real and powerful. And my point as well then, and out of that can come great things in economic terms, in investment terms, in tourism. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's all very, very good. I say the tourism, I mean, let's not forget that a part of this was about a boost to the tourism industry. We make no apology for that. It's a hugely important part of our country and our economy. It employs, you know, tens of thousands of people. And the results, not to lose the chance to tell you about the results, I mean, we've had in visitor numbers this year, we have had, I think overall the numbers, about a 7% increase in visitor numbers overall, and we've had a 20% increase in visitor numbers from America at a tough time now that's an amazing outcome, you know. So those are and it's given a great boost to all of that. So this has kind of been a win-win at so many levels. But in particular, what I'm, you know, obviously I'm delighted that from a tourism point of view and from an economic point, but I'm almost even more excited about in terms of the relationship between Ireland and the diaspora, the way it has underscored and re-emphasized how powerful that still is. And then in particular, I suppose it has reanimated, you know, community spirit in Ireland in a very powerful way. And I'm very excited about the future.
Yeah, and there were some aspects of that you couldn't plan in a million years. Yes. I had mentioned
we predicted it all, Edmund.
Yeah, in going back to the home parish. Now, 50 years later, this was going to be, you know, the 50th anniversary of what was big in our parish at that point. There was a lack of anything having to do with athletics or sports, and that had an awful lot to do with. Our parish being a very poor parish, one of the first parish in Ireland to report death from starvation going back to the famine years. And then the massive immigration that took place after that and continued. But we were, and this by accident, my brothers, we all felt that, you know, we should go here because it brought back a lot of memories and, you know, of the establishment of this. And we met people that we sat in school with who went to England, who went to New Zealand, who went to Australia, who went to Canada. I mean, the likelihood of that happening, you couldn't do that in a million years. So. Why were they coming back at that particular time, particular week? And nobody was rushing. They came from there, but this was something. This was a bit of the glue.
That's right.
That we had lost.
And we're all human beings at the end of the day, Adrian, making our way in the journey from, you know, from birth to death. That's never changed since time immemorial. That's still the fundamental. And, you know, at our peril, we kind of lose sight of that. And so I think the gathering has just been this reminder that, come on, that's the journey. And our history in Ireland has been to be a scattered people. We know all the reasons why. But in fact, despite this fierce scattering, which happened, the connection, the power of the connection of the immigrant, the Irish immigrant, to the home place and vice versa remains, you know, powerful. We've now reestablished that is actually something that is something that's real, it's something that's powerful. But I think the most wonderful thing of all for me out of all of this is, you know, from going back to New York and the time here 8 years ago with you guys, is that actually, you know, it matters to us at home. And we have now shown beyond doubt, like, you know, nobody can now sort of say, look, the people of Ireland have shown, we care about this. We care about you guys. We care about this relationship. And as my cousin Greg McVerry, he said, when he went back to San Francisco after the gathering, he said, I was trying to explain to my friends in San Francisco what happened in Ireland during the gathering. And he said, you know, here in America, a family reunion might be a day on the beach sitting on a log with sunburn and beer. But he said, how was I going to be able to explain to them the power and the depth, you know, of the history and the stories and the music
and the variety
and the culture and all that? He said, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And our people put that all on, Adrian. That's great.
You know, it's amazing how easily we're now talking about the success of the Gathering Ireland 2013 in past tense. And the truth of the matter is that the influx of tourists to Ireland continues.
Absolutely.
And in fact, numbers.
Just to say, by the way, absolutely, that's a great little link there. There's still time, folks. Anybody listening there? There's still, you know, about 6 or 7 weeks to go. And New Year's Eve, if I could put a little plug in for New Year's Eve, is going to be tremendous now coming up. We're starting with in Dublin, starting with the last day of the Leopardstown races, which is 4 days of their meeting in Leopardstown. On the 29th of December, it's going to be Gathering Day. So that'd be a great one now for anybody interested in the horses sitting out there. That'd be the day to be in Dublin, Leopardstown. And that's going to be the start of a 4-day New Year's Eve festival. And could I put a plug for Limerick, your old school day?
Absolutely.
We then, on the 1st of January, Limerick becomes Ireland's first national city of culture. National City of Culture 2014, government have designated a new project that
really?
Every 4 years, yes, every four years there's going to be a National City of Culture now. And Limerick, where you went to school, ladies and gentlemen, you're friendly, you're very friendly and wonderful host here, went to school in Limerick. And so Limerick is the first National City of Culture. We're getting ready. I'm on the board of that. And so I want to reach out now today to all Limerick people to say next year is going to be a very special year. And we're going to continue the good work of the gathering. And we're going to Limerick. Limerick is it's going to be a great place to be next year. So we're doing all these things there. We're really riding high now. And we're going to keep it going.
Listen, I just want to let you know that there are limits within this program. Now, if you want to make a list and read them out quickly of the various boards that you are on throughout Ireland, that will be, the time allotment.
It's all your fault. I came to New York. You infected me here, Adrian. And you told me life is short. Hey, Timmy, life is short. Come on, O'Connor. What are you doing? Your life is short. You got to do things.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
There is one... There is one though that I feel is totally under publicized, and I'm as guilty as the next person because somehow it's an easy one to forget. And the gathering, whatever it was about the gathering, it did deflect somehow from some of the other aspects of what was happening in Ireland, again, authentic and real. And you may want to tell us about this Connect Ireland.
Yeah, thanks.
We hear about it, and I know what it is,
yeah.
And then for some reason tomorrow I've already forgotten about it, because
thanks.
I feel that it's not within grasp. But tell us what it is.
Okay, quickly. So Connect Ireland. It's in the very same space. So basically, Connect Ireland is the brainchild of actually one of my clients now that I'm in the business world. A fantastic young Irish businessman called Terry Clune, who's in his early 40s, family man, four young kids, and he was Irish Entrepreneur of the Year in 2009. So he's the founder of a company called Taxback, which he founded in college in Trinity about 20 years ago, and today he's built it up. It's almost 1,000 people worldwide, doing very, very well in the whole getting tax back for people. All very good stuff. But anyway, I'm on the board. So Terry came to me about 2.5 years ago and say he'd a new idea. And Terry's a man of ideas. So his idea was that basically a couple of things. Ireland is a great place for foreign investment. We know that because of all the top companies there, Google, Facebook, IBM,
right.
Et cetera. Right. Now, there are tens of thousands, though, of smaller companies who are also looking for a European base, a European sales office, 20, 30 people, but they never think of Ireland. Why? Because nobody has made the case to them for about Ireland, and they don't know about Ireland. However, out in that same world, around these people, we have millions of our people, 70 million of our people scattered around the world, 40 million of them in America. What about if you were to mobilize that silent and dormant army of 70 million people to become connectors and salespeople to these companies, to tell them to intervene and say, hey, have you thought of Ireland? And so that was the beginnings of an idea out of which came Connect Ireland. We went then to your fellow countryman, Taoiseach Enda Kenny, and I can't praise Enda Kenny enough for how receptive he was to the idea.
I can help you with that if you get stuck.
He's very good. So, and cut long story short, we went to the IDA, and the IDA, fair play to them, took it on board. And Industrial Development Authority of Ireland, which is the agency of the Irish government responsible for promoting foreign investment into Ireland, did a great job. And they had a competition then, because Terry had to basically tender for his own ideas, so there was a competition. Properly went through, and Terry and the Taxpark won the tender. And so in March of last year, Taoiseach Enda Kenny, Tánaiste Éamon Gilmore launched a project that they called Succeed in Ireland, as the program run by the IDA, but delivered by Connect Ireland. And Terry, so about 30 people based down in Kilkenny who are driving the project around the world. And our job is two things. We're looking for connectors anyway to connect us to companies who are looking for a European base. And by the way, here's the secret sauce. If you then become the connector to somebody in your network that's looking, and out of that comes the creation of, say, 20 jobs in Ireland, that's $2,000 per job to the connector. So somebody who becomes the connector to a company that sets up, say, 30 jobs in Ireland, that's $60,000 for the connector. And all you have to do is actually know about the company. You don't have to be a big salesperson thing. You just have to know about the company. You have to tell Connect Ireland about it and make the first connection, perhaps, and then Connect Ireland does the rest and works with it. And we're thrilled with the outcome. So only a year and a half later, in the last 4 months, I was very quick, in the last 4 months, we've announced investment in Ireland of the following: 70 jobs in Kells in County Meath, 50 jobs in Port Arlington in County Laois, 55 jobs in Ringaskiddy in Cork, 15 jobs in Kinvara in Galway, and 10 jobs in Longford. All that's just in the last, from this point. So these are real jobs for people tackling unemployment and making a difference. And it's all about harnessing the power of a great asset of Ireland, the diaspora. And so from the gathering now, what we're doing as part of it, because Connect Ireland is an Irish government program as well, but very innovatively administered and paid for actually by, so all of the promotion is paid for by Terry Clune and Taxback, and he gets a fee then from the Irish government for having done that. So that's the basic idea, and we're now working with the gathering and harnessing the legacy of the gathering to go to places like Strokestown, which had a great gathering in July. Yeah. And now we're working with the Strokestown community to create Connect Strokestown. So it's a very simple idea, Adrian. And if any listeners out there, if they get onto the website, www.connectireland.com, and you'll hear a lot more.
I think that during the Celtic Tiger years, that governments and all of us who had, you know, cards to throw out, all we used the trump card to say, do you know that, you know, world companies, the biggest companies are now in Ireland, everything from the Coca-Cola to Dell to everything. And somehow we got to believe that is what Ireland was, you know, who'd care about 10 jobs here or 20 jobs there or whatever, that it was. And taking nothing away from it, because actually, even with the downturn of the economy, obviously, the big companies did not say, you know, in unison, geez, we better pack up and go home. They're still there, and they're still active.
It's been a huge success.
That could have gone so wrong.
Correct. Spot on.
You know, were it not.
So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So that's
had that been Greece or had that been Spain or some of the other places, and we wish them all the luck in the world.
In a sense, Connect Ireland is like the gathering meeting, you know, foreign investment. So it's basically, it's a smart idea out of Ireland of harnessing an asset that we have. As you say, Ireland is a great place for foreign companies to be, but an awful lot of companies around the world don't know it. And guess what? We have Irish people in their vicinity, and it's as simple as that.
Right.
We want the Irish, basically, if I could say, just say, we want people to be eyes and ears for Ireland. And there's a reward in it for yourself, your family, or your favourite charity of $2,000 per job.
Okay.
If you have listeners out there who hear that, it would be great if they could respond to that, because it's something practical that anybody can do.
That's a great presentation from somebody who has spent a lifetime in the diplomatic corps. I, on the other hand, have spent, you know, my life in the undiplomatic corps. And I just want to appeal to the bounty hunters of the world and say, hey,
yes,
this is, you know, any blot out of what you, what we're saying is, you make the contact.
Yes.
You don't have to leave. You don't have to. As a matter of fact,
you just have to make a phone call. It's as simple as that, Adrian. That's
make
really
the
important.
Connection.
Make the connection.
And as a matter of fact, you don't have to sell it, because there are people who.
You've got it. Very good. He's actually, ladies and gentlemen, your friendly presenter. He's very quick for a mailman.
I watch all the movies with the bounty hunters, and I said,
good. He's got a Longford woman.
That's a great. Name. Yeah. Speaking of bounty hunters, but anyway.
Oh no. Please, family show here. Sorry. Back on track. No, but you're absolutely right, because Connect Ireland, that's the whole point. You only have to make the first connection. You step back out of the way. Gerald Lochnan, the great Clare hurler, that was his kind of big learning from it. He said, this is a fantastic idea, because all you have to do is actually just make the first connection. And we're asking people to switch on for Ireland. That's what we're asking, Adrian. And we
absolutely
need it, you know.
And just again, and then we're going to move on from that. there was a great many government programs, many appeals through the years, and perhaps they were right for the time that was in it, for somebody to say, if you want to come to Ireland and if you want to set up something, we'll give you a helping hand. This is very different in they say, you probably know a company, a smaller company, bigger, small, wouldn't make a difference, but you probably know, we don't know who they are, so we tell you what to do. If you make that contact for us, and if they come to Ireland, we will acknowledge, you know, your connection. Absolutely. You don't have to know bees from a bull's foot.
Absolutely. Yeah, all you have to, do you want to join this here? You're good at this. No, you're exactly right. It's as actually as simple as this. And if there was any message to give to your, you know, to your listeners now, that's it. And sitting somewhere today listening to this are people actually, you know, that what we're asking you is switch on. This is about switching on.
Right.
And it's, you know, we're trying to, you know, make our way back in Ireland. We're down, but we're definitely not out. And we're on our way back. And we have to be smart. You know, President McAleese used to often say, "Untea ta biog ni falor do veglik." The thing that is small better be smart. And that's what we're trying to do here. And we're recognizing that you guys around the world are amazing assets. You know, up to now, in many ways, you've been a silent army. And we're now trying to switch it on.
And also, we didn't have, frankly, there was no offer on the table before now to say we want you to be the scout.
Yes.
The deal was if you want to either leave wherever you are and bring your expertise back to Ireland, we'll help you.
Well,
This one is actually one that is very easy mention that after the bounty money is spent, that it would be a great feather on somebody's cap to say, do you know that I was the one who actually talked to, you know, my second cousin three times removed.
Precisely.
And because of that.
Yeah, you got it.
Totally.
I mean, the guy, Kieran Levy down in Port Ireland, the man who's been the connector to the 50 jobs. So he's a hero in his local community. He's bringing 50 jobs in, but he's giving half the reward, which he's gotten. He's getting, I think, 75,000. He's giving half it to his local GAA club. And by the way, should I just say, we're partnering with a lot of great organizations, like the GAA have been great. They've been really supportive
as well.
So if you don't want to take the bounty, you know, if you don't want to take the reward for yourself, Adrian, you can give it to your favourite charity. That'd be you all over.
You can,
the Mayo people, they never think of themselves.
Listen,
you know?
You can talk that scale now to somebody else.
I'm
not giving any of my bounty away, at least until I see how this thing works. So I want to have it in my fist.
The idea, just to say that this is still, ultimately it's an IDA program, so Succeed in Ireland, the overall program which Connect Ireland is implementing, and so we're building on the great strengths of the IDA over 40 years as a brilliant organization. I mean, they're recognized globally as probably the premier foreign investment promotion agency in the world. And there's been a nice, so this is a kind of an extending of the reach of the IDA, and we're working very close, and you know, it's their program, we're working very closely with them, and we had a nice little bit of recognition there. You know, it's always nice to get a bit of recognition, Adrian. So there's a magazine called FDI, which is it's owned by the Financial Times, and it's just after giving Connect Ireland a global innovation award, and it said that, look, the IDA have always been great and around, you know, in this whole space as a world leader, and now a new piece of innovation out of Ireland with this program, which is actually using, you know, promotion of reward to actually promote foreign investment, and that they said very clever. So it's nice to see that's
okay.
Being
so one of your new hats is now Connect Ireland, and we would assume that since the Irish government indeed initiated and put their money and put their program and put their own reputation on the line for the gathering 2013 in Ireland, that they now will be able to do pretty much the same, because we have known about Connect Ireland. It's simply that
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, of course it does.
Yeah, okay.
But
great.
We were kind to we were inclined, and some of us still are inclined to say, I wonder what the catch is.
Yeah.
The catch is, in this one, if there's any catch, it will be a good catch for Ireland because they will be able to nurture new investors, new people in Ireland, and they will be able to contribute to an economy. There's no follow through.
I mean, the thing is, we're in a sense following what you guys. I mean, I often have great admiration, as you know, for the immigrants and for yourselves and what you've achieved here. And you had to arrive. You arrived in the New World, in your case, mm-hmm. New York, and a lot of them starting with nothing, worked very hard, if necessary, two or three jobs, mm-hmm. and you were resourceful and you were resilient and you were watching out for things. Well, that's a bit like what we're trying to do here now. And we're following in your footsteps, your model. And this is a smart project out of Ireland. And that's, other countries are being smart in their own interests.
Right.
Why shouldn't we be?
Okay, I don't want to contribute at this point to a notion that at least has crossed all of our minds at one point or another. Great. The most successful idea to bring the diaspora to Ireland, the Gathering Ireland 2013, when Guy Lombardo is playing Auld Lang Syne, will there be an announcement that's it? That everything that happened in Ireland, too bad, you missed it. You should have been here.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, no is the answer to that. I mean, look, there are lots of people didn't quite make it in 2013, because even though we had fantastic numbers up, still a lot of people didn't come. So we're very much hoping, and we're already indications that stuff is planning for 2014. As I say, we have Limerick National City of Culture 2014, so we're going to be reaching out to the Limerick diaspora that next year is here to be coming back. So we'll be doing that. But look, you said it earlier yourself very eloquently. Look, the big thing that's happened here is we've reanimated the relationship between Ireland and the 70 million, and that's going to take us into places. And we've been just talking about Connect Ireland. So mm-hmm. there's already a whole bunch of new activity starting to take place now. And of course, I know your point is, so will there be another gathering year? Well, we've got 2016 coming up. So Taoiseach has been talking about
Right.
So that's going to be a year to watch out for in terms of things. And then I think Minister Varadkar has been talking about perhaps a gathering in another maybe 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
We'll look at that. But in the meantime, Adrian, look, lots of stuff going on all the time now anyway,
And I still maintain that any of us in whatever walk of life we are, if we have one rip-roaring success, it's not that hard to continue that and to live off it.
Yes.
I think myself that if there was an announcement made again on New Year's Eve, well, that's it now. We're wrapping up.
Yes.
You'd have to go into the villages and you'd have to go into the towns and you'd have to get those people who didn't heretofore together.
Yes.
And you'd have to say, by the way, you can't do that again mm-hmm. because, the gathering is over.
Very good. No, you're right. And I think the concept, look, can I just say one other thing? The concept of gathering in Ireland is now out there. It is an authentic prophecy. It's been proved to be right. So we'd be saying, hey, listen, 2014, gather in Ireland. And you rightly said, if there are groups there, if there are families, and if there are people listening here, to your program now to say, look, we didn't do it this year, but hey, maybe next year is the year for us to gather,
whether it's here.
A great gathering from New York, by the way, over in March, and I'd like to mention him here today because last night was a special night for him. Dr. Kevin Cahill led the President General of the American Irish Historical Society, stepped aside. Yeah, well, a great man, a great friend, whom I have great respect for. He led the Cahill gathering back to Kerry in March.
He
had a wonderful time, and it was very moving. And I was involved myself, privileged to be part of some of it myself. So that was marvelous. So I'd be saying to other families sitting there, hey, if you think that maybe you didn't do it in 2013, 2014. The Tourism Ireland there in Park Avenue, delighted to help you and to hear from you. If you felt that 2014 or 2015 was the year for you to gather, by all means, we've started gathering now and we're going to continue, Adrian.
There are two people that I would like indeed to point out because their motivation definitely on this side of the Atlantic was something which we'd never be able to forget. And one, of course, was the now retired Joe Byrne, who, you know, was the who was the head of Tourism Ireland for North America.
Yes.
And he was rattling the cages long before anything was happening. Mm-hmm. And if he had to go out and if he was going to retire, there wasn't another thing that he could do in his life that would be that.
I'd like to absolutely echo that. Joe Byrne has been a fantastic public servant, like long before he even came to New York. Mm-hmm. New York, I think, has been the cherry on the top of the cake for him. He's a brilliant colleague, great friend, and I think he's mm-hmm. done a fabulous job in the gathering, and well said by you there in terms of what a way to go out. And, of course, he's still doing a little bit of work here, and
yeah.
Alison Metcalf has now taken over as the CEO and there.
Sure, yeah.
She's doing a great job as well, and indeed, all the agencies here. No, but you're right, and I think Joe has been a proud son of Tullow and Carlow, and he's done Carlow proud, and he's done Ireland proud, and we're very proud of him.
And also second person on my list is somebody who actually did have to go around the world, and again carried with him a lot of credibility, and that's of course Niall Gibbons,
right.
Who again had. A bigger picture. We think, and we're extremely proud that 20% for North America. You're not going to do better than that. But
incredible.
The other, the diaspora,
yes.
The world diaspora.
World diaspora. Yes,
that's a new trend, and
yes,
that's
absolutely.
One.
Yeah, and Niall completely gets it. You're right. Niall Gibbons, another great public servant. He completely gets that. And now I think one of the legacies of the gathering there is that from now on, you know, diaspora promotion is going mm-hmm. to be a key part of what Tourism Ireland do every year. And could I just mention while we have it, I know you're involved with it yourself. You'll be there, but I think on Tuesday night we have the launch of a beautiful book by the Irish Hospice Foundation called Gathering Reflections of Ireland. So this brings together, in my view, two great institutions, the Gathering, Ireland 2013, and also the Irish Hospice Foundation, who do such marvellous work for that very
right.
difficult part of life
that we all want to avoid
right. thinking about, namely the end of life. And
according to Her Highness here, Áine Sheridan, we will have the authors, and we will have...
Right, that'd be marvellous.
We will also have Loretta Brennan Glucksmann
yes,
on to explain yes. what all of this is.
We're very grateful to Loretta and to Gabriel Byrne, who's a patron of the hospice
yes.
movement, and they're launching the book next week. And it's a beautiful book, ladies and gentlemen, listening to us now. Anybody who wants a bit of a good keepsake of the year and have something nice, and it's a beautiful coffee table book with a whole series of reflections by various people, including sadly the late Seamus Heaney, who just passed recently,
yes.
But also stories of other gatherings. So it's a great keepsake of the year. It's a wonderful cause, and the Irish Hospice Foundation. And so I think we're delighted to come together with them on this. So it'd be a great Christmas present for your family.
Absolutely.
Or for anybody, or if there are companies out there looking for
the limerick
different.
Is coming out, and you're flogging.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm delighted because I know that you're a man of few words. You remind me a lot of myself. And indeed, between us.
Anion Kiro, Kiro Geller, they say,
huh?
It's a joy all
Tim,
to be with
Tim
you.
Tim O'Connor, thank you for spending the time with us. And also, I suppose it's so much better when you're able to talk about something that's not just unique, but, you know, something that a record has been beaten never happened before.
I said it from the start, I say it again, it started for me personally, it's been a privilege to be involved in this project, and it started here in New York for me. You guys have a lot to answer for.
Mm-hmm.
There are an awful lot of people saying, why did we ever let him loose there? But anyway, I'm very grateful to New York. I'm very grateful to you and Áine for giving me the chance. And absolutely, my journey, which led me to being, chair of this, started in New York in that time here with you. Thank you.
Tim O'Connor, The Gathering Ireland 2013. And now, Connect Ireland. More on that coming in future programs. In France, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.